Welcome back to the Coach Paul Show for episode 43. Jeez, what a journey. Next month, we'll celebrate the one-year anniversary of the show, and I may even bring back some popular guests from 2023. So today, I'm just a few days removed from my Combos Marathon down in Albany, Georgia. I'm going to reflect on the race a little bit and why anyone would sign up and pay money for such a physical and mental beatdown. That's how I was feeling, especially the day after the marathon. My goodness. So today, let's hit the pavement and talk about the parallels between running a marathon and navigating the journey of life. But before we get too deep into the metaphors and parallels, I will say that the race was a success. I may not have been at my best coming off the flu the week before, but no excuses. I had a good training build with my former guest and friend, my running coach, Coach Lizzie. She gave me some great but tough weeks of training leading up to the race. And anyone who runs a marathon knows that the training is the best part of a marathon, especially when you're out there running with your friends. I really took this marathon seriously and wanted to improve the whole experience from my 2021 Kiawah Island Marathon, where I slammed into the metaphorical wall at mile 18 and was slowed to about a 10-minute pace in mile 26. So some of the things I did in the latter part of 2023 and early on this year was I hired a nutritionist and I got my calories up. I also increased my hydration during my longer runs. That was honestly probably the biggest factor for my improved performance this year. I started going to my chiropractor weekly instead of monthly, started doing some strength and mobility exercises just 20 to 30 minutes at a time, 3 to 4 times a week. But let me tell you, that was probably the hardest thing. Not so much the mobility exercises, those aren't bad, but it's the strength stuff. I just don't like doing it. I have to force myself to do like core workouts, ab stuff. Like, I hate it, but I know that it's needed for the longevity of my running career. And I sprinkled in a couple of PT sessions when my body really started hurting at the peak of training. All these little things combined helped me shave a couple minutes off of my PR. And 2 minutes in a 3+ hour race, it doesn't seem like much. But my goal wasn't to Boston qualify or to even break 3 hours. My goal, as I told Coach Lizzie from the outset, was to run this marathon with a more evenly paced effort, still challenging myself, of course, with a strong pace, but not being unrealistic and pushing too hard too early. See Marathon 1. So I managed, for this last race, I managed a 7:40 average mile pace and finished in just over 3 hours and 21 minutes. My slowest mile was 8:10 and my fastest was 7:25. So I'm very happy with that, very consistent. But now let's dig in for just a second. Why would someone pay over $100 and put themselves through 3 hours of misery in the first place? I remember talking to a guy in the Kiawah Marathon right around mile 18. We were both suffering in the pain cave. I said, "What the heck are we doing out here? This is awful." And truly, I've said this before and I stand by it. I don't feel like humans are meant to or made to run more than a couple hours at the most, say like 16 or 17 miles at a time. Some people are probably like, "Are you kidding me? 16 miles? How about 1 mile?" But if you've ever seen the Jim Gaffigan skit about marathon runners, it's hilarious. It's a little bit PG-13. Mom, don't do it. Don't listen to it. But the fact that we aren't supposed to run these distances, these long distances, I think is exactly why we crazy marathon runners try. In a world filled with, I've talked about them before, the modern conveniences and the instant gratification, just the idea of voluntarily subjecting yourself to hours of strenuous exercise might seem counterintuitive. But therein it lies the beauty of the marathon. It is a testament to the human spirit and the capacity we have for endurance, discipline, and resilience. No one's forcing me to train or anyone else out there to sign up for these things in the first place, to pay, I don't even want to say it, thousands of dollars for running shoes, gym memberships, the nutritionists, the massages, the books, and who knows what else. But this is the unique torch that I carry. So in keeping with just a little bit of tradition from previous episodes, I'm going to do things in fives. So today, I'm going to just quickly highlight the five parallels of marathons and life. Lessons I learned firsthand from Marathon 1 to Marathon 2. So number one is you can't succeed alone. This is an important lesson for all you fiercely independent warriors out there. For Marathon 1, I definitely was one. And in some ways, I still am. But in the Kiowa race back in 2021, I just bought a bunch of running books, I buried my nose in them, and I came up with my own plan I thought was best for me. I changed my diet myself. I became a vegetarian in 2021. I was at 135 pounds or so, 6 feet tall, the week of the marathon. I did very little in the way of recovery, maybe like one adjustment per month. Garbage. No, bad plan, Coach Paul. After the first marathon, I was hurt for more than a month. Walking, let alone running, was painful for at least a month, and I needed PT and rehab to get my strength back. Fast forward to this year, this past race. I mentioned earlier, I have my army of helpers and friends in my corner. I had a running coach to give me a personalized training plan. Everyone's dietary needs are different. Enter Julaine, former podcast guest, the nutritionist. She helped me so much with my eating, not only eating, but like I mentioned, the hydration plan. And I'm cranking out 50 plus mile weeks in training. How about an increase in strength and recovery? There are multiple people behind each one of these areas of improvement, and I can't thank them enough. So whether you're marathon training or just going through life, you can't succeed alone. Take time to nurture your friendships and relationships with family members. Life is hard. Marathons are hard. You need that support crew. Number two, the marathon is not the point. Racing is fun. I enjoy being competitive from time to time. But with a long race that requires an incredible amount of training, the training is the point. You have to learn to love the little things. Going to bed at 8:30 every night used to be the butt of every joke. Now I just embrace it. I love it. I'm that guy. The 4 a.m. runs when life gets busy. Doing another dumb core workout even though you hate them. Those hard track workouts and the pouring rain on Christmas morning. The clean diet and all the little things that no one ever sees you do. But you do them anyways. Fall in love with the training and the lifestyle habits. The goals are great to have, like the marathon, but fall in love with the process if you want to achieve greatness. Number three, how do you handle the wall? If you've run long distances, you know the wall is real. Even pro runners have their own version of the wall in the marathon. They might be running at a 5:30 mile pace instead of their usual 4:40 all the way through, but they struggle too, just at a different level. The wall is your body running out of glycogen and energy stores. Your legs feel like cement. Your hip flexors are on fire. You might get the flu the week of the marathon you're supposed to compete in. The wall can be any different brand of obstacle. But the point is, there's always obstacles. Every time you want or try to accomplish something significant in your life, whether it's writing a book, starting a family, or just showing up to record a weekly podcast, things get tough. Your motivation dips and flows. You second guess yourself. The wall is gritty and painful. And going back to number one, this is why you need a network of friends to break through that. But sometimes the wall, the pain cave, whatever you want to call it, is something you have to face if you want to accomplish big things. Number four, pace yourself. This may come as a surprise to some people, but for certain things, I'm an impatient person. I'm a millennial. I've grown up with Google and a cell phone, answers in my pocket, fast food, Amazon Prime delivery. Give it to me now. No, I won't wait on hold for 6 minutes on the phone. Ugh. I am getting better at these sorts of things and recognize my imperfections. My impatience showed in marathon number one. My thought was, I can run a half marathon in about an hour and 30 minutes. So a marathon, I can run it in 3 hours. So let's just let it rip right out of the gate, about at that 3 hour pace. You can get away with that kind of, I don't know, cockiness, we'll just say, for about 16 miles. But reality is going to sink in real quick if you start with a fast, impatient pace. I've told my cross-country runners that running a mile or two race or a marathon doesn't really matter the distance. You only have so many matches worth of energy that you can burn at the start of a race. Don't blow them all early and then gimp home with cramps or whatever else. You want to preserve your energy, find a comfortable pace you can sustain, and train in this range. In life, sometimes you have to take things day by day. On super busy days, take things hour by hour. Give your energy when it's needed and hold back when you can. Pace yourself and play the long game in life. And finally, number five, some of the strongest people in the world simply believe in themselves. Completing a marathon is ridiculously hard. And there are people training for distances way longer than just 26.2 miles. But every person on the starting line of my race, certainly it seemed like, they had an ability or a belief in themselves and an ability like, I can complete this race. I can do this thing. I certainly had that feeling. Nearly every decision in my life for the past, I don't know, 3 or 4 months leading up to it, it revolved around my eating, my training, and my rest. Of course, you have to have time for friends and family, but I knew I was going to succeed, even though my longest training run was only 17 miles. I knew I was going to go out there and finish that race because I believed in my training and I surrounded myself with beautiful people who believed in me too. So whether you're racing or going through your day, come up with positive mantras, positive belief, thoughts, and sayings for yourself. For last weekend's race, when things got tough, I was thinking, you are strong and you deserve this moment. That was my mantra. Sometimes we need these types of words before a big meeting or a test. Come up with something for yourself. So that's it. The five parallels between life and a marathon. Number one is you can't succeed alone. Number two, the marathon is not the point. Three, how do you handle your walls? Number four was pace yourself. And number five, maybe most importantly, believe in yourself. Whatever unique torch you are carrying, keep doing the little things that make you great. And go forth knowing you are loved. Now go and be the love. Until next week.